God has given to them, sharing the gift that God has given. Open your Bibles up if you would. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4 again. I've got the outline, Terry, on the in Dropbox. It's called Gifts to Give This Christmas. I don't know if it made it because the internet has been down the last couple days with the power going in and out. So if you can find it, that's great. If not, no big deal. But last week, I began the short series of Gifts to Give This Christmas. And this morning, we're going to look at three gifts. And each point is entitled after an Elvis song. And so hopefully I'll help you to remember each point this morning. I was listening to, in your bulletins I wrote this, I was listening to Elvis's Christmas album. How many are familiar with that album? All right, Blue Christmas. I'm not going to try to sing, okay? And some of you are saying, thank you very much. And so, as I was listening to that album this past week about Christmas and everything else, I began to think, as I studied this, how appropriate some of the titles of his songs are that go along with the gifts. There it is. Fantastic. All right, last week it wasn't working, so they got it working up this morning. So Gifts to Give This Christmas, three of them, and we're going to give them Elvis style this morning. Let's say that these keys right here represent life-giving information. And these keys right here, without this life-giving information, if somebody did not receive these keys, they would die. They would have no hope. They would cease to exist. And let's say that we need to give these keys to those that are up on the shelf up there. All right? Now, how in the world could I get that to them from right here? Now, I could try to throw it. All right? I would not make it. I'd probably end up hitting somebody about halfway, or hitting the window, or hitting the door, or causing some damage. The easiest way for me to get these keys to them up there would be for me to pass it on. So I would come down here, and I would give it to Josh. And then Josh, in turn, he could either try to chuck it, or he could instead turn around and give it to them and just pass it back. Now, it wouldn't matter how many people it went to. Matter of fact, the more people it went to, the better. But it could be passed on, and it could take a week, a month, a year. It wouldn't matter as long as these keys got to them up there and saved their soul or saved their life. How many of you would agree that that would be a worthwhile thing to do? Amen. Okay, now, how many of you agree it would be very selfish for me to take these keys and just put them in my pocket? It'd be horrible. And they're up there begging for them. Please send those keys to us. Any way you can get them to us, send them. Because we need them. We're dying up here. Well, I know and I see your plight and I understand what you're going through, but guess what? I just don't want to take the time. Or I'm too shy. Or you know what? I really don't know how to get them to you. I don't have that ability. I don't have that gift to get these keys to you. Guess what? You would think, you know what, that's very selfish of you, Brother Brian, because all you've got to do is just hand them. Just hand them and pass it on. Brothers and sisters, we have the most precious gift ever given to mankind, and that's Jesus Christ. And it's our responsibility to pass on that gift to other people. Now, I may give it to Josh, and Josh may toss it over here to Brother Dave Lane. And Brother Dave Lane gets it and says, you know what? I've already got this gift. Fantastic! You already got it. So Dave, pass it on to somebody else. But there's ways of passing it too. He could stand up and get right to Miss Jones and hear Miss Joe catch. That wouldn't be very nice. It would hurt. Or he could lovingly hand it to her and say, Miss Joe, here you go. Which one do you think she'd prefer, number one or number two?
Number two.
And you say, you're being kind of silly this morning. No, I'm not. Because here's the reality. A lot of us have this gift, but we're refusing to share it and pass it on. And it's dying with us when there's people desperately needing to hear it. So here in Ephesians chapter number 4, we've been looking at spiritual gifts, and we've been looking at gifts that God has given to us. why God has given this to us. All right? Here in chapter number 4, verse number 1, Paul writes, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called." Walk worthy of who has called you. Do what you're supposed to do. And this is how you're to walk. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, which is patience, forbearing one another, doing it for love's sake. If you don't like the person, that's okay. Do it because you love them. If you don't know them, do it because you know it's the right thing to do. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do it for Christ's sake. Do it for the bond of unity. Do it for the bonding of God's people. Do it. And then he says this. There is one body. There is one Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. Not many gods. Not many lords. There's one Lord. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other gods. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So he's making the plain argument that, hey, you belong to each other. You all trust the same Savior. You have the same God that you worship. You have the same Holy Spirit living inside of you. And if you have that commonality, that's something you ought to share and desire to give. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. A circle or underline that word, gifts. God is the original gift giver. And the gifts he is speaking of is not only salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. He has given us all spiritual gifts, more than one. How many of you, when you woke up on Christmas morning and you only got one gift, were you really happy? A few of you say, well, that's all I got, and I was happy with it. That's fantastic. But how many of you would rather have 100 gifts? Oh, come on. You ask my 9-year-old, will you want one gift or you want 100 gifts? How many of you think he's going to say 100 gifts? Yeah. Give them to me. Guess what, brothers and sisters? You've been given the gift of Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit turns around and he gives you 100 gifts, empowered by him with the ability to do them and to use them. I remember one time growing up, I got an erector set. One of those old-fashioned erector sets with all the tiny little screws and all the tiny little bolts and the tiny... My goodness, I enjoyed that for about 10 minutes. And then I started losing the little bolts and I started losing all the little things. And pretty soon it just became pieces of metal. And it ended up in my closet somewhere, never to be found again. The gifts that God gives to us are not like an erector set. The gifts that God gives to us are for our benefit. More importantly, no, they're for the benefit of other people. These keys hold life for them up there. And it's my responsibility then to use my gift to get these keys to them, however it's done. Then he continues on. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captive captive, and he gave gifts unto men, not just males, females, humankind. Now in parentheses he says, now that he ascended, what is, but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Then he says in verse 13, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And why did he give these gifts? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. He did not give us these gifts for our benefit. He gave us these gifts
for the perfecting of the ministry, the maturity of the believers. He also gave us these gifts, number two, for the work of the ministry. He didn't give you your gifts so that you can simply hoard them and hold them in. I got my asbestos suit. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to burn up. So guess what? I'm going to hold on until Jesus comes or until I die. I'm not going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm not going to do what I need to do. I'm just going to hold on because I'm safe. No, then you're not using the gifts properly. You're being selfish. You are a hoarder. And not in a good way. And then he says
that you are perfecting of the saints, the maturity of the saints for the work of the ministry. And then look what it says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Your gifts encourage one another. How many of you were encouraged by those who played the instruments well? How many of you are encouraged by that? Now, there's a song going around the internet. Now, this is an old song, but it's "Some Fella Cannot Sing O Holy Night." How many of you have heard that song already? All right? All right, it's horrible. All right, it's some guy that can't sing it. I mean, it sounds like me trying to sing O Holy Night. It's just like a cat screeching. It's just horrible. Now, if I got up here and I tried to sing that song, or I tried to play one of these instruments, it would not be a pleasant whatsoever. You would not enjoy it. I would not edify you. Because that's not what God has given me the ability to do. But you get one of these musicians who know what they're doing and how to do it, and God's, it's wonderful. It lifts up Jesus Christ. And you're saying, wow, I love that. Brothers and sisters, we are to give others the gifts that God has given to us to lift each other up. There's nothing more discouraging, nothing more discouraging than when a saint of God has a gift that God has given to them and they make a commitment and they don't show up. They don't do what they're supposed to do and you're counting on it. And then you begin to think, well, if they don't like the commitment, then guess what? Maybe I ought to quit too. Because they're not keeping up theirs and I'm not going to do mine. It's discouraging. No. If we would all just simply give the gifts that God has given to us to other people, what a difference we would make for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on now, y'all can do better than that, amen? I know that some of you aren't saying amen because you're saying, oh me. So, he continues on with this. He says, I want you to continue to do this until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, have we all come into the unity of faith? No, not yet. It hadn't happened yet. And are we all come into the complete knowledge of God, of the Son of God, unto a perfect man? We know we're not all perfectly mature yet. Unto the measure of the statue, of the stature of the fullness of Christ? No, that hasn't happened yet. So how long should we continue giving these gifts? How long should we try to edify one another? How long should we be used for the ministry? How long shall we mature one another? Until Jesus Christ comes or he calls you home. That's it. Continue. Well, Brother Brian, I've been doing it for 50 years. Fantastic. Keep doing it. Now, the way you used to do it may not be how you do it now. That's okay. He changes us. But as you grow in the Lord, then you're able to use the gifts a whole lot more effectively. I can't expect someone who's a babe in Christ to be at the same mature level as someone who's been saved for several years and they're serving God. It can't be. But that's okay. You serve God here and you serve God here for the same purpose. Here's what he says. That why should this happen? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine
by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's people out there who will take and use people who have no clue what they're talking about. They got just enough knowledge and deception and craftiness and charismatic. I'm not knocking those who, I'm just saying false using of what God's word says. I believe we ought to be charismatic. That means excited. I think we ought to be excited serving the Lord. Amen? How many of you want to walk into a circus or walk into someone and they greet you at the door like this? Glad to see you. Usually the people who say glad to see you with a frown are usually at a funeral home. Amen? When we greet one another here, it ought to be glad to see you, brother, sister. Good to have you here this morning. Woo, we got something to celebrate. We got a risen Savior. Amen. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him, Jesus Christ, in all things, who is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God has given us all these gifts, and we're all fit. God places us here for a specific reason. But then when we get our joints out of joint, we get our feelings hurt, or some person says this or some person does that, and we get sideways, then we stop effectively using the gifts that God has given to us. Have you ever had a broken nose before? Anybody had your nose broken before? I can tell. Now, mine's too. Mine's been broken. I went to see the doctor, and my nose was out of form. I was playing goalie, and I was trying to stop the ball, and this kid got about 3 feet from me, and he kicked the ball. Blood everywhere. And my nose looked like that. Now, I had two choices. I could lay there and bleed, or I could go to the doctor and have him fix it. We went to the doctor, walked in, got his hand. Ouch! It hurt! But he got it almost perfectly straight. It's pretty good. I can know some of you can look at me and I'm like, my nose got out of joint, but the doctor fixed it. Sometimes you get your nose out of joint in church with other believers, and it hurts. You can decide to continue living with that hurt, or you can ask the doctor to do the healing. Some of your noses are still out of joint, and they've been there for years.
Amen.
And you're wondering why you're not breathing too well. You wonder why you're not living in Christ like you want to, you desire to, because your nose is way out of joint. And it used to be like this, but now it's way up here like this. Don't you think this morning you need to get with the doctor? Lord, fix me. I didn't ask the doctor to fix anybody else. You know what I asked the doctor to do? Fix me. Not my brother, not my sister, oh Lord, but I'm the one that stands in the need of prayer. Amen? Brother Brian, when are you going to start talking about Elvis? I've been waiting for that. We're getting to it right now. First gift. Look at verse number 32. Here's the three gifts we're talking about. And be ye kind one to another. Don't be cruel. Now we talked about the other gifts the last Sunday morning and Sunday night. Don't be cruel to each other. Be kind one to another. Because look what it says in verse 32. It says, and be ye kind one to another. If Dave stood up over here with those keys,
forget what pocket I put them in. And he takes these keys and he says, "Miss Joe, I have a message for you." And he just gets Rares back and hits her with them. Is he going to deliver that message? Yes. But it's going to hurt her. Instead, he's kind and he gives it to her in kindness. It's okay to tell the truth, and we ought to, in kindness and not out of anger and bitterness and wrath. How many of you receive a message a whole lot easier when somebody, you know, somebody loves you and they're telling you for that? We've all had bosses or authorities over us who had to deliver a message to us, and they were meaner than a junkyard dog to us. And you don't receive that well. Now, if you're in the military, you know what I'm talking about. We don't have to be that way. We can give the gift of kindness. When you exhibit kindness, what you're saying is that you, who I'm giving the gift to, is much more important than me. My attitude ought to be that those up there on the shelf, that they're more important than I am. And I so strongly desire for them to know this and for them to have this gift that I will do whatever it takes and I will kindly give it to them. And not stand back here and try to throw it to them. But instead, look for the best way to get it to them in a kind manner. Don't be cruel. Look at Romans chapter 12. It goes along with this. Romans chapter 12 goes right along with it. Turn with me if you would. Romans chapter 12. Paul is speaking to an entirely different group of people, but he's giving them the same message. Romans chapter 12, verse number 10. Verse number 9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation." In other words, don't let it be without choice. Don't let it be like a prejudiced. Don't let your love be based upon what somebody can do for you. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Verse number 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Kindness. Brothers and sisters, we have enough bitterness and anger and hatred in this world. In my native state, this past week, a young man went to school and killed two other students. We have enough of that. We don't need any more of that. We as Christians, we ought to be kind one to another. Even if we disagree, regardless of your political party, regardless of what you look like on the outside, regardless of what songs you like, regardless of all of those things, we ought to be kind one to another. I try to get my kids to do this all the time. It's impossible. One will hit the other will turn around and hit them back. And then you got a fight going on. And then Grace just stands back and watches it all. She never participates in it. We as Christians ought to be kind one to another. Amen? Look at the second gift. The second gift. Love me tender. Be tender hearted one to another. Ephesians chapter 4. He says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted." Tender hearted. You means you consider what the other person's dealing with before you make any kind of judgments or anything else. Tender-hearted, trying to understand what the other person is thinking and going through. especially this time of year with the shoppers and people in line. I tell you what, Friday was crazy at Ingles. How many tried to go to Ingles on Friday? How many of you had even attempted? A lot of you. It was crazy. People trying to buy all these foods and everything else, and I was in line, and I was going through the self-serve place because all the other lines were crazy. So I figured, you know, I'm going to get in the self-serve. I can do this. I'm smart enough to use one of these machines. And so I got in line, and I was the next one in line. All of a sudden, I get a text from Melissa. And she says, get chips and get sandwich meat because we're out of electricity. We have no way to cook anything. Now, I was next in line. And I had people waiting behind me. I had two choices. I could ignore the text and go home without the right kind of food, or I could go back and get what I needed to get. So I texted her back, and I said, yes, dear.
Good news.
I could have texted her back and said, do you know where I am in line? Why didn't you text me 20 minutes ago? Why are you now doing this? No. Because I knew that she had three kids at home wanting to go outside, pestering the fire out of her, and she was trying to get some food prepared and everything else, and she was in the middle of making potato soup, and the electricity gone out. And if I had responded back to it with any kind of sarcastic remark, it would not have been a pleasant thing when I got home. She puts up with a lot from me. So I just simply said, yes, dear. And it was the best move I made that day. See, before we react to how somebody does something or doesn't do something, we ought to be tender-hearted enough to realize that, hey, they may be going through something that we don't know about. We ought to care about what we say and what we do and how it's going to affect somebody else, because we don't know what issues of life they're dealing with. Tender-hearted. That means trying to understand their heart and caring about their heart issues more than we care about ours. We live in a world of me first. We live in a world of what I want is what I want, and if you don't like it, you deal with it. You say, now, wait a minute, Brother Brian. If I start doing that, and I start putting myself out there, and I start considering others first, they're just going to take my heart and rip it up. They're going to take what I'm doing, and they're going to stomp on it. They're going to take advantage of me. Yes, they will. But guess what? It's worth the pain. Well, Brother Brian, I did it, and I got hurt. I don't want to do that again. Before you say that, consider this. Who gave you the gift? Who's the originator of the gift? Him. What did they do to him? They did everything but cut his heart out. They spit on him. They beat him. They ripped his beard out. They put a crown of thorns upon him. But yet he still had the tender heart to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If I go to throw these keys all the way up there and to give them the life-giving message that they so desperately need, and I throw them up there and Gary goes to catch it and it hits his hand and it falls down there and I say, good catch, Gary. I may be just making a fool of myself, because he may say, well, guess what, Brian? I was outside chopping wood all day long or whatever, and I couldn't catch it. I tried my best, but I couldn't catch it. And I sit here and rail on him and say, well, that was dumb. You can't catch. You couldn't catch a cold running naked in the snow. But yet, I don't know what effect in his catching ability. So I make the throw. He misses it. I say, you know what, Gary? I'm going to do this. I'm going to run down here. I'm going to pick these keys up, and I'm going to try again. lot of us, when we try and put ourselves out there and somebody messes up, we write them off. That's not tenderhearted. Amen? Look at the third gift. I had to stretch on this one a little bit. It's now or never.
That's true.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Because look what he says here in verse 32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. I was reading one of the commentators this week, and he said this: as we forgive today, we will need to be forgiven tomorrow. They don't deserve my forgiveness. You don't know what they said to me, what they did to me. No, I don't. But what did you say and do to God? See, it says, even as God, and here's the key to all these gifts, for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do what you do for Christ's sake, not your own. Give the gifts. Forgive! Well, Brother Brian, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they spoke to me. You don't know how they misused me. You don't know what they did about me. No, I don't. And I know it hurt. We've all been hurt. We've all been decimated by some action or by an inaction or by something, somebody questioning what we do. We've all been there. But listen, most of the time when somebody has done something to us, they have no recollection or clue about it. Now, I'm not saying get over it. But did you know that a lot of us are held in bondage by our unforgiveness of what somebody did in the past? And the only one that's holding you in bondage is you. They don't know it. They may be sitting on the other side of the church and they have no clue. But you do. Every morning you wake up with it and you put them handcuffs on. And you're bound. You can't enjoy life. You hate even the thought of that person, what they said about you on Facebook. Or what your third cousin's grandpa's dog said that they said about you. And it was hearsay. And so you've bound yourself up, and every day you wake up bound. When instead you say, God, help me to forgive them and go on. Well, Brother Brian, what if they never say they're sorry? Have you told everybody sorry that you ever wronged? Oh, I don't know. Let me clue you in.
No.
You haven't, and I haven't. And how many people are out there that we have hurt? And they're waiting for us to go to them and tell them we're sorry. Well, that's different. That's different. It's me.
Exactly.
You know what? God loves you even if you don't tell him you're sorry. He's forgiven you whether you tell him you're sorry or not. He gave us his son, Jesus, to forgive us of our sin. Now I know, please, I'm not making light of your pain. Oh, I know some of you have harbored and hurt. Oh my goodness, please, I don't minimize that whatsoever. Some of you have been abused, and some of you have been used, and I know you're hurting, and I'm not making light of that. But please, come to a point in your life where you can say, God, help me. Help me with this. Because some of you, all you do is eat bitterness. Sleep bitterness. You can't even celebrate Christmas because you're so bitter and angry. You can't even join worship because you're so bitter and angry. give forgiveness, even if they don't know about it. God, I forgive them. Help me to live in that forgiveness. Does that make sense? Well, if I forgive them, then that means they got away with it. Look what he says. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Don't do it for them. Don't do it for you. Do it for Christ's sake. So I throw the keys. Gary misses it. I say, Gary, I'm not even going to try anymore. I don't forgive you. You can't even catch keys. I'm not going to even try to give it to you anymore. I don't forgive you. You did it on purpose. And I'm going to live the rest of my life. Gary couldn't catch some keys because he did it on purpose. I know he did it on purpose because he wanted to make me look foolish. He wanted to prove how dumb I was or how I couldn't throw. So you know what? And I lived the rest of my life griping because Gary couldn't catch the keys. But he's thinking, well, Brian, my hands hurt. I tried, I couldn't do it. I know it's facetious, but it's ringing a lot of bells with some of you. Somebody's so mad at you, and you didn't do it on purpose. You didn't intend for that to happen, but it happened. Just think, somebody who's hurt you, most likely they didn't do it on purpose. It was probably a gigantic misunderstanding. And they said something cross. And they really didn't mean to do that. How about this Christmas? For Christ's sake, forgive. How about it? Those other verses to consider, if you put those up for me, Brother Terry. Write these verses down. I encourage you to go home and look at them. My whole goal as your pastor is to prompt you to take Scripture and apply it in your everyday life. My whole desire is for me to show you Christ, show you His Word, and then entice you to grow in it. And then therefore, you can turn around. I want to disciple you, and you turn around, and you disciple somebody else. You get the life-giving gift and pass it on. Let me ask you a question. How are you doing with the life-giving gift of passing it on? How are you doing? Are you holding on to it? When I'm ready, Brother Brian, when my arm gets stronger, I'll throw it to him. When I'm ready, Brother Brian, and I like that person, then I'll give it to them. It doesn't take effort. Just give. And then guess what? I get some more. Now guess what? You say, well, you've given. No, I'm not. It's unable to be completely emptied. Exactly. See that? Hold it up, Josh. Let me see. What is that?
Light.
They need the light. But it's down here. Will you be the one to get it up there? That'll work one way. But the most effective
effective way to do it is to pass it on lovingly, tender-hearted, with a forgiving attitude. Well, they don't deserve the light. You didn't either, but God gave it to you. Amen?
Amen.
Merry Christmas to you. But more importantly, let's use these gifts for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Let's stand together, heads bowed, and eyes closed. I hope that God's Word touched on some tender subjects this morning. I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, showing you some things in your life that you need to deal with Him about. I'm hoping that instead of leaving here the same as you came in, you leave here and say, God, I'm going to do what you have clearly shown me to do. Because I can't make you do anything. But I sure can lovingly tell you the truth. And I have done it out of love for you, because I do love you. I care. But now it's up to you. What are you going to do? For Christ's sake. Heavenly Father, you know our needs. Thank you for forgiving us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that your word clearly teaches that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You forgave us through him. Now, Father, may we take that same gift and give it to others. Forgive us for hoarding it. Forgive us, Father, for being so stubborn we're not willing to give it. May that change. Now, Father, I know that there may be some souls in this very room who don't have that gift. Maybe they've played the game. Maybe they're unsure. And they've never placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. If that's there today, I invite them to come, God, and let us show them from the Bible how they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You're the only hope we have, God. There is none but you. Strengthen us now. Help us to give these gifts out of love for you, for Christ's sake. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Holy Spirit spoke to you. If you want to come forward and pray, I invite you to come. You want to pray where you're standing? Great. If you want someone to pray with you, great. But come. Come. Right now, as Brother Danny goes, as Brother Danny begins to sing, won't you come right now? Won't you come?